Welcome to Make and Decorate, a podcast for makers who love to sew, quilt, knit, and decorate. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new season of the Make and Decorate with Stephanie podcast. This is season 6 and the start of my 6th year of podcasting. For those of you who have been here since episode 1, thank you so much for listening. I just cannot even tell you how I feel when I see on my podcast software, there's a big global map and it tells me how many listeners listened for each episode and every part of the world. So thank you so much. It just fills my heart with joy. I have a very exciting new season of episodes for you. And I'm mixing up the segments this season, and we'll have the chit-chat segment after the guest segment or my main topic on solo episodes. I also want to mention my Patreon group at patreon.com/makeanddecorate. It is a subscription-based membership that you choose either $5 or $10 a month, and you will receive a bonus podcast every month, even during show breaks, which means you get a podcast episode year-round, in addition to these episodes. This is subject to change, but as of right now, the $10 tier also receives an additional biannual handmade reward from me. This Patreon group is the only source of funding for the podcast, and I want to thank my patrons so much for their continued support with their membership. And I want to thank all of you guys for your support by coming back every episode to listen to my little podcast show. And really, how all of this works is, if you listen, they will come. The episodes, not the baseball players. That's a 90s movie reference if you were around back then, or actually late 80s maybe. This is not a great way to start the season because there were recording issues with the guest audio file of this episode. And the recording only captured one side of the conversation, so I just had to go back to my notes and talk about everything that we talked about in our conversation. I feel so terrible that you will not be hearing Carla's voice. She is such a wonderful person and so full of knowledge and willing to share everything she knows about Grace Company. And I will be soloing on this main topic based on a guest interview with Carla Jerome. I want to be clear that I have not received compensation of any kind from Grace Company. I was contacted by their PR rep, and because I'm familiar with this company and have seen and tried out some of their long arm machines at quilt shows, I wanted to do this interview with Carla. So let's get into that right now. I'm going to start with a little bit of information about Carla and history of the Grace Company. Carla Jerome is the head of education at the Grace Company and the sister of Jim Bagley, the founder and owner of Grace Company. I'm going to read from the Grace Company's about page that tells a short story about how the Grace Company began. When creating any quilt, a quilting frame is the ideal tool to make the task much easier. Jim Bagley, founder and owner of Grace Company, designed his first frame in 1985 and named it Grace Frame, after his mother Grace. He then began selling this hand quilting frame in the quilt shop where his mother worked. Grace had seen a need for a quilting frame that solved basic problems with fabric, and Jim's invention solved all of them. And Grace Company's first innovative contribution to the quilting world was born. That's directly from the About page. If you're familiar with Grace Company and have even tried or have their products, you know that they have some of the most innovative quilting fabric frames for long arm quilting in any size space and long arm machines of various sizes. And I'll add that it's in a very affordable price range as well. Carla hosts a weekly YouTube video series called Tuesdays with Grace. She educates viewers on various quilting techniques and troubleshooting, as well as information on Grace Company's products and their new introductions. The main topic of our conversation was about the new release of the Little Rebel Machine. And just a quick mention, Grace Company has a promotion running right now through the end of September with promotional pricing on the Little Rebel and the various bundles that they have. I'll have a link to their website in the show notes. After September 30th, the promo ends and the pricing goes up. I think also that the product, the machines and the bundles, will start shipping sometime in late October. But don't hold me to that. If you want to get updated information, then I would probably recommend signing up for their newsletter. All right, so let's talk about this Little Rebel sewing machine. There are some unique features on this machine, and first off, there is a generous amount of throat space to the right of the needle. It is 13 inches and an 8.5-inch harp height. There is a built-in motion sensor for free motion quilting. It's a stitch regulator built-in, and it is activated by a button on the front of the machine with a cue on it. There's no separate plugins. You just press the button and you are set to start free motion quilting with stitch regulation. It works the same if you use the machine as a long arm on a fabric frame, just pushing the cue button, and you'll have your automated stitch regulation. This is pretty unique. I don't know of any other machine that has the stitch regulation built in that is a domestic sewing machine, other than, you know, professional long arm machines. There may be, but I haven't heard of them, and I feel like this is a really great feature for this new machine. It's a pretty powerful machine. There are 1,600 stitches per minute. The stitch length and the stitch speed, are preset with electronic buttons that you can change between them. So there's not necessarily numbers that you choose from. They're just toggle buttons, which you can increase or decrease the stitch length and increase and decrease the speed. The other unique thing is that the stitch controller is included with the machine. And the stitch controller is used when you use this on a fabric frame as a longer machine. However, you probably could use this in place of your foot pedal if you choose to as a sewing machine option. So the stitch controller has a stitch for on and off, which means it starts stitching or when you want to turn the stitching off. And then the other button, which forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe it is to put the needle up and down. So you're pressing the button and the needle will go up and you press it again, it'll go back down, which is nice. Then the other things that are included are two throat plates, one for regular stitching and one for free motion quilting. There's several presser feet included, the sewing foot, a hopping foot, a quarter inch foot with guide, and a zipper foot. There are three M-class bobbins included, and these bobbins are that large size. So it's about twice as much thread capacity as regular sewing machine bobbins. That's really great, especially when you're quilting. The other thing is that this machine takes long arm needles, not regular sewing machine needles. So they have included 4 packs of needles in different sizes with the machine. There's a size 12, 14, 16, and 18. There's spool caps and spool nets, and a 12 inch by 18 inch extension table, and a frictionless Teflon mat. This goes underneath the machine and it helps to eliminate the vibration when you're sewing on the machine. So it could be put on, let's say, a portable table and you won't get that like terrible vibration of the machine and the table and everything on it moving. So that's really great. And then if this is of interest to you, there are two motors. One of them is for simultaneous bobbin winding while you sew. That really is kind of like rubbing your tummy and patting your head at the same time. But it's a nice feature to have, I think. All right, what's not included but will be available as an add-on accessory soon is a walking foot. So there is not a walking foot included with the machine, but Carla mentioned that the walking foot will be coming soon in the new year. Also coming is a ruler quilting foot and a ruler base. I asked about the ruler base because I'm not quite familiar with that, and I did see a picture of it, and it's sort of like a squarish shaped metal piece that gets placed under the quilt and provides a stable base for ruler quilting. This is especially useful when long arming because the fabric is just taut over a frame. There's no table surface under it, so that ruler base would really help with the ruler quilting when you're long arming. There are some features this machine does not have. One of them is an automatic thread cutter. There is no automatic needle threader, no knee lift, and no zigzag or decorative stitches because it is a straight stitch machine. There is a video on the Grace Company's YouTube channel. It's a Q&A with one of the engineers that worked on the Little Rebel machine, and he addresses a lot of these features that are not included in the machine and why. And also, if they get enough requests for features, then they will probably consider adding it later. My thoughts on these, I'll tell you that my opinion is that the automatic thread cutter is not that helpful for long arm quilting, which this machine is geared toward, because it'll clip the threads way too short, and then you won't have a very secure quilt stitching if you just leave those loose. And the automatic needle threader is a delicate mechanism. Some companies do a good job at a quality automatic needle threader, but I feel like it's a finicky thing. It breaks down often, and you know, then you have to go take it in to get it fixed, and it increases the expense. And both of these items do require some sort of an electronic component, which also increases the price of the actual machine. Okay, let's talk about the knee lift. So apparently I am in a niche minority when it comes to the knee lift. They said that they got feedback from their test market, people who tried out the machines and gave their feedback, and most of them didn't find a need for a knee lift. Oh, are you kidding me? Again, this is my own opinion. However, I was thinking, why do people not use the knee lift? And the only thing I can come up with is, first of all, they might not even know that it exists, that it is included with their machine. They may see this bar when they open the box of their new sewing machine, don't know what it's for, and then kind of like toss it back into the box. There is little education on it. As far as my experience goes, I have never been told, you know, this is a feature of the sewing machine, this sewing machine. It has a knee lift, and this is what a knee lift does. I learned about the knee lift by asking about it and trying it out. It is a little awkward at first, but if you start using it, It very shortly, you will come to really depend on it and really like consider it a must-have for your sewing. Not all sewing machines offer a knee lift bar, especially the entry-level machines, or like this new little Rebel machine, which is geared towards quilting. It really isn't necessary for it to have a knee lift. But for your main sewing machine, if you're sewing clothing or quilting, and the machine that you have a zigzag and a blanket stitch to do appliques and so forth, I think you would want a knee lift on that type of machine. And the knee lift is basically this bar that turns almost 90 degrees to fit into the front of the machine. And when it's pushed to the right, it lifts the presser foot. And when you take your knee off of it, it lowers the presser foot. So it acts like a high-end hover feature that is in a lot of super high-end sewing machines as an electronic feature. So the knee lift, I don't know, it's just something that if you try it out, it's awkward at first, but you will quickly get used to it. And when you can use both of your hands, it's hands-free. It allows you to have hands-free without having to remove a hand and go under and flip up the presser foot. And it streamlines your sewing experience. So, I highly, highly recommend a knee lift for your regular sewing machine. But again, it's not included on this little Rebel. But if you email and ask for the feature, maybe they will down the line add it. Who knows? There are some add-ons, and all of these are included in bundles some way, and you can pretty much pick and choose what you want or need and get it as a bundle. QTC6 is a quilting software that was made for the Little Rebel machine, and it's sort of like an entry-level software that only has edge-to-edge quilting designs in it. So you can, I think there's almost 200 designs in there, if I remember correctly. But that's a great add-on, and especially during this promotion, you really get a good deal for the software. Another new product is being introduced in October and is included in a lot of these bundles with the Little Rebel machine. And it is their tabletop fabric frame. It's a new introduction called the Cutie Breeze. They already have a tabletop fabric frame called the Cutie. And this one is just a different version of the Cutie with a couple of different features. So the Cutie Breeze is basically the same width. It's a 48 inch and meant for tabletops, and it will hold the fabric. There's a little bit different way that the fabric is secured onto the frame on the Cutie Breeze. The other thing that the Cutie Breeze has that the regular Cutie table frame, fabric frame does not have is space in the back for pantograph quilting. The last thing I think that is a difference between these two is where the handles are located. The regular Cutie frame, the handles are below the fabric, and on the Cutie Breeze, they are above the fabric. And that just comes down to preference. I also asked if they were planning to discontinue the Cutie frame, and Carla said no, absolutely not, which I was glad to hear. And some of these components, like the handles, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think in the future, they might be available as an add-on if you already have, let's say you already have the Cutie frame and you want to try the overhead handles. So I would just, again, recommend that you watch their YouTube channel, go to their website, and get on their email list so you can get all of the right information from Grace Company on their products. More presser feet will be coming out, like the walking foot, a binding foot, blind hem foot, etc. And again, if they get enough requests for accessories like feet, they will release them later. It's really great to hear because this company really does listen to customer feedback. And I truly believe that that is an element of their success and sustainability of being in business for so long. So thank you, Grace Company, for listening to your customers. It's really great. Promo pricing tiers. Since I last looked at their website, they have expanded the number of bundles available. In a nutshell, it starts off with just the little Rebel machine, and they have a MyCutter rotary cutter included with that. That is the bare minimum of a bundle, and then they increase from there, and they add the Cutie Breeze frame in some bundles, and then they add both the Cutie Breeze frame and the QTC 6 software in the other bundles. Right now, there's about two more weeks left with this promo, and they don't require a large deposit down on the machine. I think it's something like $100, and then the balance of the promotion deal will be charged when the machine is ready to ship to you, I believe. So my final thoughts on the Little Rebel machine is that, well, I already mentioned the no auto thread cutter and no auto needle threader is a good thing in my eyes because I do think it helps keep the price reasonable and there is less chance of those components breaking down, which they commonly do and are expensive to fix. I don't have to mention again my disappointment in the no knee lift. However, I understand. So this is meant to be a quilting machine. So I need to understand that, which I do. Quilters will love this machine because they will be able to do everything on it, or they could just use it on a fabric frame as their very own personal little long arm machine that will not take up any more than 4 feet of space. I think that's wonderful. I so love the idea of this tabletop fabric frame because you get 4 feet width of quilting space on your quilt. And even though the depth is only, you know, allowed by the depth of your sewing machine, for this one, it's 13 inches, but I think maybe you might actually have around 11 inches of quilting depth. It's still a ton more than you have on a sewing machine, domestic machine quilting and free motion quilting. So because when I was looking at this at the trade show, that was my thought. I was just like, well, this looks like such a small space before you have to like roll the fabric up to another spot, you know, to the blank spot to continue quilting. But I was reminded that it's a whole lot more space than if I were quilting it just at the sewing machine. And it is so true. And the other thing is that and I speak of my own experience with free motion quilting and machine quilting on a domestic sewing machine wreaks havoc on my shoulders and my neck. So that's one of the main reasons why I really have a long arm machine of some kind on my ultimate wish list. And I think that the introduction of this Little Rebel machine and the Cutie Breeze tabletop fabric frame, plus that edge-to-edge quilting software, is the perfect setup to transition from quilting on your regular sewing machine, but not getting all crazy with, first of all, expense and learning curve and space required of a full-on long arm setup. So this is right in that transition level. And you don't even have to transition from there. If that works for you, which I think it may, it's really like I told Carla that they are targeting a niche market that has not really been addressed up to this point. So it's very good foresight on their part. And it is reaching a whole demographic of quilters that will definitely love this little transition to long arm quilting their quilts. My final thought is that there is that risk of pre-ordering a machine that is not yet been released to quilt shops, and you just have to order in blind faith that it will work the way you expect it to and will meet and exceed your expectations. I think that the Grace Company also, I mean, they've had to think about that and determine that they were going to release this machine like this, where no one can try it out first. They did have their test markets try them out, and I believe that they feel confident enough that the quality and features are there. Also, offering that great promotional price point is also a plus. And also, nowadays, we order so many things sight unseen, including cars and even houses that people just buy off the internet. I wouldn't buy a house unseen, but I would a sewing machine. And actually, I have. I purchased a Featherweight off of eBay several years ago and was not disappointed. Yeah, so either you're comfortable with buying the machine and these bundles at a great promotional price, sight unseen, or you just wait because it is coming. It's coming out late fall. So those are my thoughts. I have links to the Little Rebel page on the Grace Company website in the show notes and their YouTube channel. Plus, you can look up Grace dealers in your area on the Grace website as well. You guys know that I love sewing and quilting machines, and it was fun. It was so much fun and exciting to learn more about the Little Rebel machine that is coming in late fall 2023. And I want to thank Carla Jerome from Grace Company for taking the time to talk with me about their new introductions and really all of the amazing innovative features that, again, I think really fills a void in the domestic sewing / quilting machine market. All right, next up is Chit Chat, and we have a lot to catch up on, so go get yourself a beverage of your choice, and let's settle in and chat. Well, you would think that I had a ton to update you with sewing, quilting, and all the maker things I love to do, but I don't have that much to show for this past summer. August was non-existent as I got COVID the very first day of August and was down for a good 2 weeks. And since then, I've been trying to heal my lung inflammation and cough. You can sort of tell by my voice that, you know, it's still there, but slowly going away and getting stronger. Most of the early parts of summer were spent outdoors planting flowers, a few veggies, and gardening. The garden overall has done very well over the summer. There were a couple of tomato plants that did not turn out, but the ones that I planted by seed in the winter, these are like golf ball size tomatoes. So they're not a cherry tomato and they're not a full size, but it's a heirloom tomato, and it's called Indigo Chocolate. And I think it's called that because it sort of gets this dark chocolatey brown and indigo blue color when it ripens. And it is so good. It's such a great tomato for snacking on and putting on your salads and so forth. That turned out great. And all of my flowers did pretty well. The only thing that I did not have complete success with is container planting of the zucchini and yellow squash. And that is only because weather conditions, we got a lot of rain and then no rain and long spans of brutal heat, like high 90s into the hundreds. It was very hot summer. So though I was able to get some zucchini off of there before them, which I'm thankful for. The green beans and the snap peas did the same thing. I was able to have one harvest of those. And then after all this weather stuff, we just had to replace them. In fact, we just replaced the snap pea plant. No, the green bean one with this big, beautiful purple mum. So pretty. So the garden is great. And I have tried to get out of the watering of it most of the time. I don't get out of it all the time, but most of the time because of the stupid mosquitoes that I cannot stand. I don't know why, but mosquitoes will swarm to me and not other people like my husband. And I just don't understand it, but it happens every single time. Knock on wood. The two butternut squash species I planted are really doing well right now. It was kind of I wasn't sure at the beginning because they really took off very slowly when they got transplanted from seedlings into the ground. But we just took a good look at those today, and there's a lot of them out there. So I just hope that they continue to ripen well and are harvestable before frost, because now we're well into September. Next up is paper crafts. And I actually think I did talk about this on that July episode that I published, where I did a batch of cards with the Lawn Fawn embroidery hoop die. So I won't go into detail with those, but I did just make one more card recently, and I took a design that I made last year of my dog Cooper silhouette in an SVG file. So I used that SVG design for my husband's birthday card again this year, but I did it in a different, a completely different design. So I had this bunch of balloons, like three balloons. I glued some twine onto, like, looks like it's coming from the balloons, and wrapped around Cooper's tail, tied into a bow. Turned out really cute, and there will be a picture of it in the show notes. In July, I was on a roll with my commission quilt, and it is so close to being done. And then I had to hit the brakes in August due to COVID. But I'm back onto it. And oh man, it is going to be finished soon. It has to be, because I have other projects to do and make. However, I think I have been calling it the wrong name with you guys. And I didn't realize this until I watched a video from Kate at the Last Homely House, where she was making an Irish chain quilt for charity. And it was completely different from the one I'm making because it is a single Irish chain. I'm making a braided Irish chain in a king size. So that is why it is A, so time consuming, and B, much more complex, which most of you guys might have thought I was crazy and silly for making so much ado about an Irish chain quilt, but it is in fact a braided Irish chain. And now I feel a little bit better that I am not some, quilt idiot that can't make an Irish chain quilt. Oh, it's almost done. It's almost done. And I haven't started any new quilt projects, and I will not until this is done. Recently, small projects have kind of wiggled their way into my sewing table. I'm making a quick small project for my nephew who just turned 4. And I got him, he gets all of these Legos, and in the past, I've gotten him the trucks and the cars and everything. So this year, I thought maybe he needs something a little more like chill and creative. So I got him a couple of Paw Patrol coloring books and some activity books and a box of jumbo crayons. And I got the Amazon Basics Jumbo Crayons because they had so many excellent reviews and I wanted to give them a try. But they come in a plain craft cardboard box. And I thought, well, that's a little boring. And also, it may not last very long with a toddler. So I'm going to make him a crayon organizer for the jumbo size crayons. Well, first, before I decided that, I did look online for a crayon organizer or holder for jumbo size crayons and really didn't see anything that was just specifically that. There was other things that would be, you know, a combination crayons, markers, or pencils and that sort of thing. So then I looked at some patterns and kind of like the same thing. I really just, nothing was jumping out at me. So what do? I pull out the Procreate on my iPad and I start drawing and just wanted to make a simple trifold crayon organizer out of fabric that was only for that. So I got him a 24 crayon set and this trifold organizer that I'm going to make is for 24 crayons and it'll have two interior pockets divided up into the 24 spaces for each, you know, individual crayon will have its own pocket and a magnetic closure with a flap that folds around to the front. And that's it. And then another project which was not by me, but my husband asking for a swaddle blanket for someone at work that is having a baby in November. So I will not need to make that until October, but that is also a really small, quick project to fit in sometime in October. In fact, my first YouTube video that I published is how to make a swaddle blanket. And those are great, last minute gifts to make for a new baby. And people love them. I made them for my sisters and they really, really love the swaddle blankets for, you know, those baby gifts where either you don't have time or they're just not, you know, they're not family or whatever. And you don't want to invest the time and the expense to making a quilt because you don't know how it'll be received. Swaddle blankets overall are great. Oh my gosh, I just thought of another project. Oh, I have to have this done by the 25th of September. It's a pillow from the leftover fabric from a commission pillows project I made last winter. This is going to be a birthday gift for my freelance boss. She gave me, the commission project, but she gave her pillow that I made for her to her daughter because her daughter had just gotten a second Labrador puppy back in March. It's a black lab puppy and now she's bigger. So I'm going to surprise her with a pillow for herself because I found this leftover fabric. So yeah, I got to make that too. Pillows are easy, especially just a single pillow. So it's just a point of squeezing it in the next couple weeks. Garment sewing, I have nothing, not a zilch, zero. There are several patterns that I had printed several months ago in the large format paper, ready to be made, but no time to do so. I'm hoping to be able to do garment sewing in the winter. So we'll see. But yeah, there's nothing been going on with that. I did take an online sashiko stitching class on Domestika. And it is from Atsushi Futasuya. And Domestika has their online classes. It's similar, I would say, to like a Craftsy, where, the old Craftsy, where you could buy online courses separately. And so I really recommend this class if you have any interest in not only sashiko stitching, but learning the actual way traditional sashiko stitching is done and the Japanese culture of where and when it comes from in Japan. So if you're going to QuiltCon in 2024, Atsushi will be teaching an in-person sashiko class, but it did fill up already. However, he will also be talking in a lecture at QuiltCon as well. So I follow him. He has a YouTube channel, and I really, really enjoy his teaching and philosophy on Sasha Ko being taught in America. I mean, that's a whole nother rabbit hole, which I believe I will make a podcast episode about in the future. Knitting. This is the second creative activity I could do. The first one was the Sasha Ko online stitching class while I was sick. And then I was able to pull out the Prism blanket project that I started in February during the Pearl Soho Knit Along. I really like this project, but it really is a longish term project. And I put it away in the spring because it was all about the seedlings and the garden and getting outside. And so now it's back out. And I have completed the first column of a 4-column blanket. So it is coming along. This is the blanket that I call the HST blanket or half square triangle because it is made of square blocks that are knitted as half square triangles. And the unique thing about this pattern is that each block is knitted to the next, and it omits sewing these blocks together at the end. So you don't make these individual blocks and then stitch them together. You just keep going and you pick up the stitches of the block preceding the next one, and that attaches it to the block, and then it's knitted in columns. And I'm halfway through the first block of the second column, so I do see this project getting done sometime, hopefully in the late fall, if I am able to continue knitting it in the evenings when I get some time. All right, let's move on to a few little tidbits. Joanne has 2 decorative skeleton sewing machines. So they're not real sewing machines, but they're just decorations. They're Halloween decorations. And there's a larger one with sort of like this white skeleton guy in a shape of the sewing machine, and he's animated. And then there is a smaller one, like 9 inches tall, and it's kind of like one of those black old antique sewing machines, and it's not animated, but very cute. It's cute if you want to decorate your sewing room or space, or even just like regular Halloween decorations. I thought I haven't seen it before, and I thought it was really cute. Well, maybe skeletons aren't that cute, but it's fun. My local Costco has their annual selection of fall planting bulbs out. I haven't gotten bulbs in a couple of years since I did that huge planting of tulips and daffodils several years back. And they're still coming up every spring, which I'm very happy about. So I got a bag of 50 of the bluish purple hyacinth bulbs to plant next month. That's another flower that I have really always wanted and just haven't taken the time to plant yet. So I'm excited about that. And if you live in northern climates, it's getting close to the time to have flower bulbs planted. You want to have them planted at least about 6 weeks before the first frost date. So I've got a little bit of time, but I've got to get those done. And the best part of that is when you are in the doldrums of winter and just waiting for spring to break through, you see those leaves of tulips and the hyacinths kind of peeking out of the ground when it's super early spring. So I love that. All right, so let's move on. I do have what I'm reading along with what I'm watching, because I did pick up, you know, reading again a lot in August, and also listening to audiobooks, because the first few days, I would say at least the first 3-4 days of COVID, I could not do anything. My head, it was just, I was sensitive to light and sound. So the only thing I could do was listen to an audiobook and at a very low volume. But thank goodness for that, because what else can you do aside from sleeping? That pretty much saved me with that first week of having it. And then I moved on and got some more books and more audiobooks. And since then, I've just kept reading. And it's something that I listen to audiobooks whenever throughout the day, alternating with podcasts I listen to. And I will say, though, audiobooks really depend upon who's narrating it, at least for me, because I had to stop listening to this one audiobook and I switched over to the actual Kindle version of the book to read it myself, because the story is very, very good, but the narration was just not. I can't believe I listened to the whole first book of the series with this narrator that was grinding on my nerves, but the storyline is so good. And then I started listening to the second one and I just couldn't. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not enjoying hearing this book read. And because they kind of take on voices of the different characters so that you know who is who. And this one was just not doing it for me. So, Nora Roberts is the first one that I listened to. Did I listen? No, I am listening to one now. But I did finish reading one of her books called Identity. She's written over 230 books, and I used to read her books way back, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. Then got too busy with work and reading sort of kind of went out the window. But I'm so glad that I'm kind of getting back to it now. Identity is, I really liked it because it's a story of a young woman. She's working really hard towards her dream of opening her own business one day. And then everything went to hell in a handbasket. Sidebar, where does that phrase even come from? Hell in a handbasket. Everyone says it, but nobody ever knows where it came from, or, you know, I guess, you know, it's one of those things. But that's the first thing that came to my mind about what happens in this book. So I don't want to spoil anything. I will say that there is a serial killer mystery and a romance storyline in this book, plus an adorable dog, which is always a plus for me. So that one is called Identity, and you probably can borrow it from Libby. Then I'm also listening to an audiobook from Nora Roberts, and it is called Awakenings. And this is sort of a departure of genre for her. It's more in the genre of fantasy. There are fairies and a whole alternate world. I'm really just in the beginning chapters on it, but it is about a woman on Earth in our world, somehow connected to that other world. And she travels to Ireland, which is where her father is from, and he's her long-lost father. So she's trying to find out if she can find him or even just find anything about him. And I have a feeling that he is also from that world as well. So it's really captured my attention so far, and the audiobook narrator for this book is great. The other book, so I finished Identity, so now I'm reading the second book of the series by Alex Cava. It's called Silent Creed. The main character, Ryder Creed, is, and his canine search and rescue dogs, he teams up with an FBI profiler on a few cases along with local police and helps to solve crime cases. And there are so many dogs in this book because they are rescue dogs and he trains them to be scent dogs, and they all have different areas of strength. One dog is a scent dog for drugs, and humans, like if they're underneath a bunch of rubble. So I love this book. I love this series, and I'm in heaven with all of these dogs, and it's a crime, kind of a crime thriller type of a book. So it's very good, well written. Let's move on to what I've been watching. I'll just like glaze over some highlights of what I've been watching. First of all, which all the popular shows that you're probably watching as well. Only Murders in the Building has a new season out. And Stars has a promo of 3 months for like $9. So I signed up for that so I could finish Outlander, or start it and finish it. And I've already have done that. Outlander season 7. This is part 1 of season 7. So I guess in 2024, the second half of the season 7 will come out. And this season was pretty good. And then Disney Plus has another one of those Star Wars, shows. And this one's called Ahsoka. It's in, these are all in current seasons and we're watching them. And Netflix. So they released a new show recently called Live to 100, Secrets to the Blue Zones. And it's only 4 episodes. I watched all 4 of them. And I recognize this show. I believe it's the same guy from National Geographic who did a show on the Blue Zones many, many years ago, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he goes back to these Blue Zones. And some of them are either not a blue zone anymore or are very close to losing their blue zone heritage. When I watched the first show on the Blue Zones, it was really fascinating for me to learn about them. But I didn't really take it too heart. It didn't impact me in a way of where, oh, well, I could implement this try to be in my own blue zone, I guess you could say, because a lot of these locations are in remote places and they have food sources that we don't have and terrains that we don't have. However, in this new series, he does take 4 types of things that you can implement into your own life to have a more blue zone type of healthy and happy and long life. And I really like it. This was really resonating with me and very interesting to watch. So I would recommend that show. One thing I want to talk about, okay, he comes with 4 things we can do in our own lives. And one of those 4 things, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear anything, then go fast forward for like 2 minutes. But one of those things was finding purpose. And meaning finding purpose in your older years when you've been retired to like what gets you up in the morning and what are you passionate about. And in Okinawa, Japan, there was a woman and she had a sewing machine on her table and that made me smile. And that was her thing. That was her purpose, was sewing. So I think that all of us already has a step up into the blue zone with our sewing and whatever it is that we do as makers, quilting, knitting. And it really does help to not only strengthen your brain, but your dexterity and so forth. So sewing was one of those. Gardening was another popular one. And basically just finding your tribe and investing in that circle of friends for life. One more show I'll talk about is Finding Aaron Carter. This is also on Netflix. It is a short series and it's based in Spain, but it starts off in the UK. So this will not be a spoil alert. This is just a basic synopsis of the show. And it's about a school teacher who is married with a daughter and they're living in Spain. Her name is Erin, And her past catches up with her. So, like I said, she used to be in the UK. She was an undercover police detective, and something went very, very wrong, which is why she fled to Spain and made a new life for her and her daughter. It's really a good show, but the main character really kind of got on my nerves a lot. And the reason why is that she constantly made things worse for herself and for those close to her over and over again. And you would think that she would, like, you know, hello, like, wake up. You've done this 5 other times. Why do you keep doing this? But I don't know. You let me know if you watch this. I'm very interested to find out your kind of review of this show, Finding Erin Carter. And that's it. That will wrap up this first episode of season 6. I really missed you all, and I hope you enjoy this new season of episodes. I have a good variety of guests for you, including Willie Smith from Willy Nilly Knits, Sarah Lawson from So Sweetness, and more. So stay tuned, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to so you will not miss any episodes. All right, until next time, bye-bye. If you love the Make and Decorate with Stephanie podcast, check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/makeanddecorate. You'll get a bonus episode every month, even during the months that the show is on hiatus. Thanks for listening, and I will chat with you next time. Bye-bye.